Michael.
Welcome to the 1 o'clock no sour haha funny hour. We are back on the no sour haha funny power hour. What is it, Greg?
The no sour fun time haha power hour.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour on Monday, the first day of spring.
Officially.
Officially. I guess officially at 4:25 today will be spring, according to the sun's location, or I guess our position
in
against the sun.
There you go.
But question, what was your best summer job? 844-967-2789. What was your best or worst, I guess, summer job? 844-967-2789. And are summer jobs kind of a thing of the past?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
And I ask this because we were going to talk to Jennifer Deliberti from the Milwaukee County Zoo, but she had to reschedule with us. But they are doing, they being the Milwaukee County Zoo, is doing a hiring event March 23rd. So that is Thursday and the 29th. And it's an event for walk-in interviews from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And both events are going to be at the Zoofari Center.
Very cool.
Very cool. I feel like that's a very cool location to have a job interview. And it's for, you know, kids, young people, 16 years or older, and it's for seasonal jobs. But I was like, I feel like this would be, it's similar to the DNR jobs we talked about with Brian Hefty last Wednesday.
Yeah.
That sounds a lot more fun than, I guess, what are other good summer jobs?
I always
lifeguard?
Think of... They're looking for lifeguards,
yeah.
Boy. They're having a tough time finding people to be lifeguards. Yeah, I think that would be a great summer job. Just like the DNR when we talked to him last week. Those would be great jobs. You know, people are happy. They're in a good mood. They're there to have fun. Otherwise, fast food jobs seem to me like a summer.
But are those fun?
No.
Man, we stopped at McDonald's on the way home yesterday, and it was just a bunch of teenagers working in there, and it was chaos.
Was it?
I'm not going to say where it was. It was, you know, what we had, it was like waiting for Culver's, how long it took us to get our food. And then even when they came out, there was two of them together, and there was a car parked next to us, and you could tell that they didn't know whose order was whose.
Oh, no.
And, but you know, it was just like who's in charge here. But it could, but it also makes sense because there's more and more. When we talk about the labor market, more and more of these jobs are going to, you know, it's younger kids, teenagers, and even managers who were probably young. And you know, it's, and I don't know if they were also understaffed because we went through the drive-through. But everyone who was working in this central Wisconsin McDonald's looked young. They were nice, but they looked young.
Yeah, there is a pizza place that will go unmentioned specifically. And I was in there about 2 months ago, and it was packed. There were at least 12 people in there waiting. And there was mozzarella cheese all over the floor. There was stuff all over the floor. The garbage cans were overflowing. And it was four teenage guys. And it was, and I'm sure one of them, like you said, I'm sure one of them was a manager.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan, you know, whatever.
Tyler.
Tyler. Yeah.
But it's just, and I don't, since I don't have teenagers, like I didn't have a summer job until I had my first job that wasn't, I mean, I'm in the weird situation where I got an acting job before I got like a part-time job.
Oh, that's cool.
And so my first part-time job was at Pier 1 as a Christmas seasonal employee. My mom was, that was my mom's job when we got to LA. I think she spent more than she actually earned because she really took advantage of that discount. We had a lot of candles.
I bet. And, sure. And lots of sparkly candle holders.
It was a great, I mean, everyone who worked there, it was actually a fun job because everyone who worked was on staff was great. And working retail during the holidays, your shifts go by really quickly because it's slammed.
Yeah, you're so busy.
And then my job after that was at, this was probably my least favorite. I did retail again and I worked at a high-end baby clothing store.
Oh, that must have been annoying.
On Montana, which is one of the like hoity-toity shopping streets in Santa Monica in Los Angeles. And it was basically when it wasn't, it was boring most of the time because it was just a small boutique. So a lot of it was just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, one customer would come in. Can I help you? No, I'm just looking. Okay. Yeah. And then they'd, you know, and then you'd, and it was, there was never any bad experiences as far as people being rude. It was more just the like sticker shock of people dropping $600 on baby clothes. It's like, they're going to grow out of these really quickly.
You realize that,
or
right?
They're going to get really dirty really quickly. Don't care. And then from there on, I worked in restaurants, which I found much more fun.
Did you?
Yeah. I liked working in restaurants way more than working retail. But I never had a fun job like working at the zoo, working in a park. What was your thistle thing?
I was the thistle picker on the pea line. Yeah. At a cannery. It was something.
It was something. So I'm guessing that was not your favorite job.
That was not my favorite job. Still, I'm glad I had that job because it reinforced how much I didn't want to have to do those kinds of jobs.
Well,
it's tedious.
And
physically demanding because you're standing all the time. Which doesn't sound like much, but you're standing on concrete for 8 or 9 hours and it affects your back and it affects your knees and all of those things.
And you were young then.
Yes.
Imagine having to do that now.
I know. I can't. So I worked at babysitting was always the first job. That's where we always started.
Yeah, I babysat. You know? But I wasn't employed.
But the first real job was I worked at an A&W restaurant.
Did you have to wear like a little like, do you have to wear like roller skates or anything?
We did not have skates, but we did have the outdoor drive up.
Okay.
And so we used to, this is so bad. We used to listen in on people's conversations.
Nice. Do you remember any of them?
Well, once as a joke, a friend that I was working with and I put a fake phone number in a guy's hamburger and said, call me.
Like on the wrapper? You like wrote it on the wrapper?
No, we put it in the hamburger.
Oh, God.
And then we listened over the intercom to find out when he discovered it.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay. So he didn't swallow the number?
He did not swallow the number.
Okay.
But
did he call?
It was a fake number.
So you didn't even know if he was going to call or not, because if he had he called, there would be no one
there would be nowhere to know. And yes, I did once drop an entire tray of root beer floats on a customer's lap. In his car. Yeah.
I feel like in the car is another step than just, oh, you've ruined my outfit, but you've potentially ruined the car is another level of, was he understanding or was he irate?
As I recall, he was pretty understanding because he kept rolling the window up and down as I was trying to put the tray on the window. You know, because this is back in the day when you had to,
oh, that's why you spilled it.
That's why I spilled it.
He took partial ownership over the spilling.
He did.
That's good.
Yeah.
I used to have to, at my first restaurant job was at a sushi restaurant slash, it was also the only place in that neighborhood that had a liquor license. It was also like the neighborhood bar. And I was a hostess, but also the hostesses delivered drinks because it would get so busy that the waiters didn't always deliver their drinks. And we would have to deliver sometimes, you know, 5-6 martini glasses.
Oh, dear.
On a tray. And there were certainly, and I never felt bad because it always happened eventually to someone. Because if you loaded up, especially if someone else loaded up the tray for you.
Oh, sure.
And there was any slight, like the lip of one was on top of another and they weren't all just flat. Because in a tray of 6 or 7 martinis, if one goes, all of them are going. And so that certainly happened to me. I don't know if I ever spilled it on anyone, but it certainly, there was a couple times on a busy Friday night that the whole tray was just down and we'd clean it up, but it was more like then on a busy Friday night, then the bartender had to go make six more martinis.
Right.
But I think that's I never had to deliver anything to anyone's car. But I wonder about, because I feel like to a certain extent, there's more and more kids. There's obviously always going to be kids who have to get summer jobs just because their parents aren't giving them allowances, and they want money, or they're making money for the family. But there's also, like, there's so much pressure now on kids to do so many extracurriculars that I wonder how often that is taking away from the quintessential high school summer job, because you're playing AU basketball, yeah, or you're doing whatever sport because you're trying to get into college with a scholarship, or you're in space camp or whatever kids do now.
Math,
right?
Camp.
And
yeah,
so, like, even the part-time job year-round, let alone just in the summer, I just don't know if it's as
common.
Ubiquitous as it used to be.
Texter from the 262, and you can always check in with us at 844-967-2789. I know this is the No Sour Happy Fun Time Power Hour, but I don't want my kids to work all through summer while they're still in school. Making kids work massive hours in the summer seems to be a way to grease the wheels of a capitalist society. Part-time job, less than 20 hours a week, sure. A full-time job all summer long, I certainly hope not.
That's part of the fun. Yeah, we love getting your opinion on stuff like that.
Definitely.
But is that what the summer job is supposed to be? Is like a full-time job? I always kind of assumed it was still
part-time.
But it gives you something to do instead of just hang out all summer.
Right. Make a little money on the side.
Make a little money, not just sit in your butt and play video games all summer. I'm trying to think of what I did since I was on swim team. I'd go to theater camp. I was in basketball. I would do AAU basketball. I'm trying to think, but maybe besides that, I was just hanging out. Maybe I also didn't do much beyond that.
That's okay.
Turned out okay.
You won't be punished for this.
I still have a pretty good work ethic, I'd say.
I think your work ethic is okay.
All right. Well, when we come back, this is a little dated, but we never talked about it. So there is a Janesville man who is using a billboard instead of the dating apps to try to find his soulmate. And we're going to talk about it. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
I spent a lifetime looking for you. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. That is me. She is Jane Mattenair. And, you know, hats off. If you are not having success with the dating apps or Match.com or the websites or meeting someone organically.
Does that even happen anymore? Do people actually meet people out in bars and stuff?
I don't know if it's at bars, but I think people still meet through friends. Like, one of our good friends is now been dating her boyfriend for approaching a year, and they met through friends.
Oh.
That's always risky. I feel like sometimes that's risky, because especially in, like, I think about their situation, had they dated and then it gone poorly, then what do you do in the friend group?
Right.
But
who gets the friends?
I'm trying to think of my close friends who've been dating, who didn't end up with someone who they met in, like, college. And of course, now I'm blanking, because I met Mike on an app. Dr. Mike met his husband on an app.
For the last decade, that's pretty much seems to be the way that it happens.
Yeah, I feel like it still happens organically. But I guess the real question is, do you think it's going to happen if you put a billboard up? Because that is the calculated investment that a Janesville man has taken, referring to himself as the number one eligible bachelor. And he has a digital, like, rotating billboard in Janesville with the number to call. And Channel 3000 did a little bit of a clip on this. Let's play it.
Both literally and figuratively, Robert says this billboard is his way of putting himself out there. He hopes that people who drive by here take his message as a sign.
I'm just looking for that special someone.
Meet Robert.
I get lonely. Everybody does. I'd like to walk down the sidewalk on a nice summer day and just hold someone's hand.
He's calling himself Wisconsin's number one eligible bachelor.
Well, who says I'm not?
His dating life has taken a different turn after many failed attempts.
Dating sites just weren't working for me. Match and Tinder and just none of them were working.
He's turned to this electronic billboard to find the love of his life. By calling this number, he tells local honest women to leave him a message.
I love to laugh. I love country music, and I love movies. I love to find that special someone out there. Are you here?
His new method hasn't had the best results so far.
You'd be surprised on how many pictures I'm getting. It's crazy. It's just like, oh, man, next, 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 next.
The approach is there. It's very good.
Those who've seen the billboard on Milton Avenue say this way of trying something new might just work.
Definitely better than Tinder and all the other dating apps, but that's just my opinion. Janesville has a lot of populace, so I'm sure he'll see like a couple like hellos, highs.
Robert is still looking for the right person.
Unless you want to go on a date, you can be my first date. What do you think?
Huh? I don't know about that.
While this might be one of the more unique ways to find somebody special,
just go big or go home. I mean, you don't get any bigger than this.
This number one bachelor hopes this sign brings him closer to the one.
Well, I hope people take it serious.
Never hit on the reporter.
Never hit on the reporter. You can't. So we'll put the link to the video from Channel 3000 in the show notes. But at that point in the video, the reporter looks at camera and just panicked and wide-eyed. Be like, what do I say to that? And you have to, like, the image of this guy, he's got, like, Oakley, like imitator Oakleys on that are just, like, reflective and rainbow-like, and a cowboy hat. And I do have to take an issue with, because I think when he was saying the pictures that he's getting, that he's saying, next, next, next. It's like, how at that point, how is it any different than an app? That you're rejecting the people who have taken you up on your offer and not even like having a first conversation with them.
That's a really good point.
And, you know, I appreciate the... I wonder how much that cost.
That can't be inexpensive.
Because if it's not that much money, why don't we have a billboard yet for this show?
You're number one most eligible radio program.
Give us a call, 844-967-2789. And it won't just be a voicemail. We'll actually pick up and tell you whatever question we're asking next. Good luck to him.
I give him credit for stepping outside the box. It takes, you have to be nervy to do something like that.
I give him credit for using his own picture.
Yes.
And not catfishing everyone who would see that billboard.
Young George Clooney, you know, yeah.
Because literally I think the picture that he has in the billboard is the same picture, the same outfit he was wearing in the interview.
I think you're right.
Hat, sunglasses and all.
Big belt.
But, you know, we will have to see. We'll have to see if anyone does a follow-up story to see if this works for him and if it's a new, expensive, but potentially successful method.
You got to give him points for creativity and nerve.
Well, especially they did do a news, you know, you go on the news and now.
Right.
Because had it just been a billboard, I'm not sure we would have. I'm not on Milton Avenue that often.
In
so
Janesville.
It's not like I would have seen it. But now, you know, now we're talking about it. Who knows? Maybe if we give this more press, maybe that's more likely giving him a better chance that he's going to find the one.
Well, if you are looking for love too, check out the show notes, and that will send you his way.
I will forward this to my single friends.
Yeah, I don't know if you're not in Janesville, if that makes you geographically undesirable, but You'll have to find out.
It is a populous area.
It is according to that video.
All right, when we come back, what's the most money you've ever spent on a concert or event, but it was worth every penny? 844-967-2789. What was the most expensive ticket you've ever bought, but it was worth every penny? 844-96-PARTY. We'll be right back. Knocking my heart's door. You're everything I've been looking for. No more looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for love in too many places. Searching for us, looking for traces. What I'm dreaming of. Now that I found a friend and a lover, I bless the day I discover. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And we are asking you, what is the most expensive ticket you have ever bought, but it was worth every penny? And I'm asking because T-Swift.
Tay-Tay.
Tay-Tay back, kicked off this weekend her Eras tour that was a very hot ticket, to put it mildly, and broke Ticketmaster how many people wanted to go. And the reviews are in. She plays 44 songs.
3 hours she played.
And the costumes and the it sounds like, for the people who were willing to spend the money and go through the heartache of trying to navigate the Ticketmaster system, she makes it worth it. And so that got me thinking, what's the most money you've spent on a ticket where you were like, once you were there, you were like, worth it.
Yep.
So happy I spent the money. Money doesn't matter. This experience I will never forget. And so we already have someone on the line.
Robert from McFarland. Thanks for joining us, Robert. What was the show that you've shelled out for?
It was $125 for Bon Iver at Summerfest about 3 years ago.
And how was it? So tell us more about what made it so good.
It was the last one on the last show of their 22 a Million tour, and they've got this amazing light show going on, and Justin's voice is worth, I don't know, just about anything. So it's a local voice. I'm giving my money locally. So,
I love that. Summerfest, local artist,
good
Wisconsin artist. thanks for the call. That's $125. Mine, I think the most money I've spent is for a Beyonce ticket. I'm pretty sure I spent $350 for in the Levi's Stadium in San Jose when I was still living in San Francisco. I was in the third deck. But it was still, she put on a really good show, and even being that high up.
Really?
It was, granted, I think I was making enough money at the time where it was like, it's fine. But I think I'd pay $350 to see Beyonce again. Even the Taylor, I'm not a huge, I like Taylor Swift. I appreciate who she is, her music. I've come to appreciate her even more as an artist and a businesswoman.
Yes.
I don't think I was going to spend, I think my upper threshold is $500.
Wow.
Depending on who it was. I would have paid $500 to go see Bruce Springsteen when he was here in Milwaukee. Was that 2 weeks ago?
Our friend Steve was
friend
at that
Steve
show.
Went, yeah. And so I think some of the legends like that, I would be willing to spend more. I think up to $500. Trying to think who else. Do you have one?
Well, first of all, I would never spend $500 for anybody.
Anything?
Never.
Really?
Not a chance.
Is there anything in the world you would spend $500 on? Not even just a concert, any kind of a vacation, obviously, but nothing? Really?
Drinks with George Clooney for charity. For
so
charity.
You'd bid on a date for I feel you wouldn't spend more than that?
No. No, are you kidding? And I can't remember how much I paid for these tickets, but I saw Jon Stewart a couple of years ago.
Do stand up?
Yep. He was at the Riverside and did stand up. And I am completely blanking on how much I paid for those tickets, but it wouldn't have mattered because we were in the front row.
Ooh.
I wanted to wrap myself in a big red bow and just throw myself on the stage.
How long ago was it?
This was probably a decade ago.
So he was still doing Daily Show?
Yeah.
Interesting that he had time to go on tour while he was doing Daily Show.
Yeah.
Because they don't really take that much of a summer break, I didn't think. And I thought part of the reason why Trevor Noah stepped down, whether it was all of his own volition or not, was because he wanted to
it's
do
so demanding.
To tour. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah, I think it's interesting. We're asking, what's the most money you've spent on a ticket, but it was worth every penny? Or I guess the reverse, what's something you spent way too much money on that you wish you wouldn't have? 844-967-2789. Because I remember sometimes it's also like, and now I guess you technically wait in a queue online.
For your chance to buy the ticket?
For your chance to buy the ticket. Unlike, I think, more likely in your, not even that long ago, but before Ticketmaster and everything was online, you actually had to go to the location and wait in line to get your ticket. Because I remember when I was still in college, the Dalai Lama was coming to speak. And people slept outside overnight, and the line was so long to get tickets, because you had to buy them in person. There was no online queue. And I've said this before, I am not a line person. I don't like waiting in line for brunch. I just feel like there's another place that we could go, and I don't have to. There's other places to eat. But same thing, like I've never been someone to wait in line off of wait in line based on like seeing the new movie or getting a new new shoes or like new technology or anything.
The newest phone.
Yeah, exactly. And so...
Texter from the 608 checking in. The most expensive concert I have been to is Rockfest in Caddo. Is it Caddo or Caddit, Wisconsin?
I don't know.
Caddo, Wisconsin. It's about $300, but it's a three-day event with camping and 30 bands. Well,
ooh,
$100 a day. That seems like a deal. For 30 bands.
I think that's... Sometimes the festivals are... They do feel like a bigger deal, but I'm not sure you get a three-hour set. From even the headliner.
No.
When you go to a festival like that. And so it's not quite... But I liked festivals. I feel like now I'm getting a little too old for festivals. But like I went to like Outside Lands in San Francisco. We would usually go to at least for one day. I've never done Bonnaroo. I've never done Coachella.
Coachella seems like a whole different planet, man. It really does.
Just like... People wearing like next to no clothes and furry boots and camping out.
Yeah,
and...
I'm not quite sure what they're trying to approximate, but I find the whole thing baffling.
I bet, I'm surprised, not that I think a ton of people from Wisconsin were planning on going, but I would imagine one ticket that people feel like they overpaid for was Firefest.
Oh, yes. What a debacle that was, hey?
But yes, we are asking, what is the most expensive ticket you've ever bought that either... was worth every penny, or you wish you could have gotten your money back? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. I'm trying to think of one that I spent money where it was the opposite, where I was like, oh, this was
a mistake.
Not worth it.
I saw Bette Midler once, and those tickets were about $99 a piece, which at the time I thought was really pricey, but she was brilliant. She was just brilliant.
Did she do a lot of storytelling?
She did.
I can imagine that.
And because again, she started as in the bathhouses in New York. And so she had a lot of pretty blue humor surrounding some of her songs. So, I mean, that was when she was still dressing up in her mermaid costume and mermaid in a wheelchair. And this is going back quite a few years, but she was magnificent.
Do you think she'd still be as good? Is that someone you'd pay money to go see again?
Probably not.
Really?
This was a gift for a friend who wanted to go see her. And I'm a Bette fan. I guess I'm more of a fan of her acting than I am of her singing.
Oh, interesting.
I don't.
Okay. I think if we're, I think, I feel like it's a twofer with her that yeah. they kind of go one and the same. I don't think of much of her acting without her singing at some point, I guess.
But she's a great comic actress.
She is. I mean, Hocus Pocus. Which, one and two.
Did you give the thumbs up to, I thought the first one was terrible.
I don't know. I was a kid. I'm certainly not a Hocus Pocus stan where I need to watch it every single Halloween. And it brings back the nostalgia of being a teenager, or not even a teenager, because I think I was really young when that first came out. But I don't even know if I saw the first one all the way through. At one of Mike's bars, they did a Hocus Pocus theme this last Halloween. And so they had both movies running like back to back for like the whole weekend.
Oh, man.
And so I feel like in being there over the weekend, like I saw bits and pieces of the second one, but I certainly haven't sat down and watched. It's impressive that they got almost the whole cast back together.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, that's true.
But, you know, Beaches, obviously, I think of Bette Midler. I'm trying to think of other movies where I think of her acting before her just being an incredible singer.
Well, First Wives Club.
Yeah.
Down and Out in Beverly Hills. That's probably not one you've ever seen.
Nope.
Dexter says from the 414, Fleetwood Mac 2016, I think, at the Bradley Center, $275.
Ooh. Did they say it's worth it or not worth it?
Did not say either way.
I imagine it was worth it.
I would think so, too. But in 2016, though, because I saw them in 1976.
But that's the thing. I feel like for some of these... Everyone I've ever talked to who's seen Bruce Springsteen has said worth every penny that he still puts on. I mean, literally, he gets referenced in the Taylor Swift article, a review of her show, saying like not since Bruce Springsteen has someone put up the stamina of putting this show on and putting on such a good show, putting so many, like including so many songs. And I mean, and even just from the pictures from when he was in Milwaukee this month. I was like, oh man, I wish I would have gone to that. Oh, but my brother's seen Bruce. Rolling Stones multiple times, said they're still fantastic
really?
Despite their age. Yeah. And so some of these people, I feel like even though they're older, this is where they come alive. And so, and the music is still so good. My parents saw Elton John, I think in 2021, said it was excellent. They've seen, Paul McCartney at Green Bay, said it was one of the best concerts they've
wow.
ever seen. And these are all people who are, quote unquote, past their prime, who are still putting on unbelievable shows.
Great shows. Interesting. Another texter from the 262. Jane, I feel like civic media needs to start buying you tickets to big shows as they come into town so you can review them. I would listen to every review of yours.
You would probably be the most honest. I mean, I'm trying to think of all the civic media characters. I could imagine you having very honest reviews.
I can be a little harsh.
I feel I'm curious of how you would take how would you judge a Taylor Swift concert.
And I like Taylor Swift, I do, but I've told you this before, I am not a big ballad fan. They bore me.
How do you like music theater and you don't like a good ballad?
It depends. But I mean like
do you don't like Memory?
That's the only good song in that show.
That's not true.
That is the only
Mr. good... Mr. Mistopheles?
No. No.
Rum Tum Tigger?
Oh, please. Now you're killing me.
But what about like Miss Saigon, Les Mis? Les Mis is all ballads.
I don't love Les Mis.
I thought you liked Les Mis.
I like Les
Mis. What's your favorite musical?
The Producers.
Yeah, I guess there's not many ballads.
Book
in
of
the
Mormon?
Producer. There's ballads in Book of Mormon.
Not many.
And even the ones that are ballads are still funny.
Yeah. See, I'm more
of a... What old school musical is your favorite? Because both of those are in the 21st century.
Sure. Again, old school, My Fair Lady, Oklahoma. More upbeat. Happy.
Not ballads.
Whoop, whoop, boing things. Whoop. That's just kind of who I am.
Okay. All right. But I feel like her music is interesting because I feel like it's not dance music, but there's not all ballads either. Like it's not Adele. Like, I feel like you'd probably like it at a Taylor Swift concert more than better. You. If you don't like ballads, don't go see Adele.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
Although
about that.
Although that is another show that I paid to see her in Madison Square Garden.
Did you?
That was worth every penny.
Yeah.
Because, well, what I imagine Bette Midler was probably like, because she tells so many stories and she's so comfortable and she knows her songs so well that she can just go in and out of talking to the audience and singing and train of thought, talking to you and telling a story and then going into it. And it feels so natural instead of this is the order and this is the routine and this is the choreography everything is, it flows.
Seamless.
Versus a Beyonce concert where there is very little improvisation, which I imagine Taylor Swift is also very little improvisation because you're like, we got to fit 44 songs in 3 hours.
We got to get going.
All right. Well, if you still have anything you want to add as far as the most expensive ticket you've ever... Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair, and we are wrapping up our Monday show. We were talking about what's the most expensive ticket you've ever bought that was worth every penny. I feel like Fancy Brian, if he was listening, he'd have a good
I think so too.
Good answer to this. I feel like he's seen some good concerts.
I'm sure.
But yeah, I would say mine, Beyonce and Adele, and I stand by that because I feel like those are two of the top artists of our generation. I would spend a lot of money on Lizzo.
Would you?
I would. I think she would put on a really good show. I like Lizzo a lot.
I don't know enough of her music.
Really?
No.
But what music do you listen to these days? Because I feel like you're like, I don't know any Rihanna songs.
But I just don't listen to much music. When I'm in the car.
You don't listen to podcasts? You don't listen to music? What do you listen?
How do you listen
to talk radio?
How do I
all
live?
Day?
How do I live? I don't know.
What do you just listen to the radio?
I listen to the radio a lot.
But Lizzo's on the radio.
But I'm not listening to the music stations.
So you really live by what your work is. You listen to other talk radio when you're Were you always like that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Working in music radio for so long really ruined music for me.
That makes sense.
It did. And that's why I can never sleep with the radio on because then I dream I'm at work.
Yeah.
Because again, I did that I was on music radio for 30 years. And I would love a song. And then after 6 months, I would hate that song because we played it every
so many times.
And so that's why I love picking music for this show because I feel like I'm rediscovering things all the time.
Well, it also potentially rediscovering things that either you never heard, like a Phosphorus song that you definitely have never heard before.
The Phosphorus song.
But also, so what's your process when you're looking for music?
You mean in relation to our show?
Yeah.
Keywords.
Or is it a secret?
Yes. It's a science, Kristen. If I tell you, I'll have to kill you.
Yeah, fair.
Looking for keywords, there might be something in my memory that the topic triggers something that might be applicable.
Okay.
And otherwise, I just search for things.
Okay.
I search for songs about phosphorus today, and the phosphorus song came up.
Was there more than one phosphorus song?
It was limited.
Okay.
That's like songs about data.
It was limited.
But now I have two.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I think
that's enough.
We can rotate those
data songs.
Yeah. We don't have those guys on that often.
We actually should reach back out. We haven't had Wisconsin Policy Forum on for a while. So all right. Well, that was a fun topic.
It was.
So coming up tomorrow at 1 o'clock, Representative Mark Pocan's going to be here.
I am really looking forward to talking to him.
Me too. We're going to talk about Medicare Advantage and the can we just call it a scam?
It's not what they're, it just doesn't seem to be what they're selling.
Yes.
But they're not selling it honestly.
Yes. So we'll talk to him more about that because he's on the side of having a little bit more transparency around what Medicare Advantage is. But that'll be the first time we've had him on the show.
Yes.
And then on Wednesday, Greg Bach Hump Day Wednesday, Greg will be here. But also we're going to interview Janet Protasiewicz.
Judge Janet.
So Judge Janet will be here at noon. We are reaching out to Dan Kelly's campaign.
Yep.
Let's see if we can get him. I'm not holding my breath, but we'll certainly try.
We did that in the lead up to the primary.
Yeah. And so, but then also tomorrow night, at 6 p.m. across Civic Media, we will be airing the debate between Dan Kelly and Janet Protasiewicz. So certainly listen to that. I am excited. The political nerd in me is more interested of just how this goes, because it's like, how do you debate as a judge?
That's a really good point.
Or as a justice candidate,
right,
for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Like, how do you debate? Like, I feel like when you think about case law and you think about the hypotheticals of analyzing the law and interpreting the law, it's that. It's an analysis. I guess it's an argument that also is part of debating. But it feels like debate comes through, it's just this whole thing of how we elect justices is weird instead of them being appointed, because it just sets up, you know, we're already at the point where it's blown past the most expensive race ever. It's supposed to be nonpartisan. It's certainly not nonpartisan.
No, it's not.
And with so much on the line, who, for everyone who has something that they understand will change the course of how Wisconsin goes, kind of throws the idealistic nonpartisan thing out the window because they just see how desperately they want their side to win. So anyways, we got 15 days for that. So early voting starts tomorrow. So you should definitely check that out. Take advantage of that. And then coming up on Dueling Tangents with Luke, Brian's kind of touching.
Primarily Luke.
He's talking to Matt Rothschild of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign at 2:30 about fake electors seeking a venue change. I haven't heard about this.
Me either.
So I don't know what that's about.
That sounds like something we should tune in for.
That is something that you should tune in for. But otherwise, Chad Holmes is coming up on WXCO. And anything else for us today?
I think just have a happy first day of spring.
What are you actually supposed to look for when you're looking for the equinox? Like, what changes at 4:25 that you'd be like, oh, there it is?
There'll be a big flash of light.
I don't think that's true.
I don't think it's either.
All right, we'll come back tomorrow. Thank you for calling. We had a lot of calls today.
We did have a lot of calls and a lot of texts, and we really, really genuinely appreciate that. And you can check in anytime. Agree, disagree. You don't have to agree with us in order to check in with us.
That is true. And if you missed any part of today's show, you can go back and listen to it as a podcast. You can find it at asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or go subscribe on Spotify or Apple or anywhere you get your podcasts. And if you have a topic suggestion, you can always email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us. And so tomorrow... Tomorrow's another day.
Tomorrow's Tuesday.
So come back tomorrow at 11 when we do this all over again. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.